Okay, again, good morning.
Good morning.
I'm glad you made it to the 8:30 session. And I'm also honored to have been asked. And although I love Health Literacy Missouri, I'm kind of glad they couldn't come. But actually, as we speak, and we have three different models here, we're sort of modeled the same way Missouri is, which is really as a standalone organization, so I'll talk about that a little bit. Well, we're called the New Jersey Health Literacy Coalition, and we are a not-for-profit organization with corporate status. And, you know, you have this sheet in front of you, which is my handout. I'm not going to go through a lot of our things that relate to our mission and our goals because you already have that. I'd like to give you a history of why and how we were built. And please keep in mind, we are newbies. We just really started this year. And let me sort of trace our history. My colleague, Alyssa Director, she's not here, but she worked for Literacy Volunteers of New Jersey for a long time. Some of you may know her. And she took an interest in health literacy about 6 or 7 years ago and started studying it and realized that in the state, this, on top of regular literacy, was needed. And let's talk a little bit about New Jersey, because I think it's important here to know that if you're building capacity in a state, it should be aligned with how your state's set up. And what I mean by that is, what's the population? Is it dense? Is it rural? What's the configuration of the population? You're looking in a state like New Jersey, which is so culturally diverse, where you've got 25% of people in the state speaking a different language than English as their first language. What's the health care like? What are the economics like? What are the politics like, which is a huge thing. Actually, Bonnie and I were just talking about that. And we're dense. We have a really advanced healthcare system. We've got health plans, pharmaceutical companies, everything you can imagine, yet we're about 30th overall in health performance. I'm not sure why, but I think it has to do with a lot of different things, which are the states divided into political areas, counties, fiefdoms, maybe not as much collaboration in states that are more rural where people have to collaborate. So, with a lot of these statistics, we decided, or it was Alyssa actually and a couple of other people, that we should hold a summit to see what people thought about health literacy and what we should do with it. Should we start an organization that was standalone? Should we piggyback on one of the universities? Should it be connected to a health plan? Or what? So we over 6 years, and this was really a grassroots movement, Literacy Volunteers of New Jersey invited all kinds of other organizations to come to the summit. And that's when I came into the picture. I went to the summit, and my background is I have a Master of Science in Health Management with a concentration in health promotion, health communication, and change management, and have been in the healthcare delivery system for most of my career, and I've helped run a human service nonprofit for about 5 years. So I have a mix of corporate and nonprofit. So I went to the summit, and so did 200 other people in the state. And as I talk about our coalition or our organization, we really provide services to a broad spectrum of people. And we approach it from the provider or the clinical community perspective, and really, as far as health literacy is concerned, it's a partnership between the patient and the clinical community. But we believe, and somewhat uniquely, I think, as far as a lot of health literacy initiatives, that you really need to help providers learn how to communicate effectively to make an impact on patients and not put the full onus on patients' backs. We'll talk about that probably a little bit more in our questions. But anyway, so we had our summit. We had 200 people from universities, libraries, nonprofit organizations, health plans, the pharmaceutical industry, which New Jersey is their backyard, that's where most are headquartered, regular corporations. And after we had the summit, which was an all-day, we had presenters from all over the country, and we had breakout sessions. The consensus, fast forward a little bit, this is in 2009, was to build a standalone organization. Yeah, as I was thinking when I was walking over, I was thinking, okay, here I'm going to say this, and everybody else has partnerships and coalitions, and I'm thinking, you know, it's a typical East Coast move where you just kind of jump in with your feet and just go for it, not thinking of all the repercussions and how you're really going to make this work. That's the negative side of it, but we have evolved over the last year, and in our dream, it is to make this standalone organization really be something. So, as I said, we approach it as we approach health literacy with a universal precautions approach. How many of you know what that means? Okay, most people do, and it's really looking at it's using communication in every encounter that you have with a patient, whether they're from a different country or they have high or low levels of education. It's really approaching it that way and making sure providers approach it that way. And we wanted to be able to provide resources to the state through training and workshops. And we also wanted to provide resources as far as being a coalition, meaning that as we built our capacity and had enough funds, we would have the resources to help nonprofits who may not be able to pay for or spend money on trainings and workshops, because we had the capacity to go out and do that, and also to share best practices and build a network. We're sort of in phase one of that at this point, and I'll tell you about that. We got our 501c3 status last September, and then in December, we got a grant from the Horizon Foundation. And let me tell you a little bit about our philosophy and our business plan. So I wrote a business plan, and before we actually started to raise the funds, we decided, again, jumping in with both feet, or all the four, five, 6 feet we had, to go after corporate trustees rather than chasing money, because we only had two people, and we weren't affiliated with anybody else. So we thought, and our board chair was medical director for Horizon New Jersey Health. That's the Medicaid arm of Blue Cross Blue Shield, Horizon Blue Cross Blue Shield. We spoke with our planning group, and we had people from nonprofits and universities, and we decided, let's try to do that. Let's try to get sponsorship in this state, build a board of trustees to have a sustainable organization, whatever the monies may be, $10,000, $20,000, we weren't sure, but there's a lot of folks in this state from private and public corporations who are interested in this. So I've developed a business plan, and we decided to do that. And through the people who were doing this, which is really Alyssa and myself, and our board director, we talked to a lot of our contacts. We also brought in, we have nonprofit people on our board. What should we do? Who should we talk to? And we were positive about it, thinking that it would happen. Now, we didn't think entirely about the recession and that people weren't necessarily as willing to say, oh, I'm going to come on your board and help you sustain the organization and give you X amount of dollars, but I can't right now because we really don't have the money to do it. Well, this started to happen. When we set up meetings with people throughout the state, we were always welcomed, whether it was a health plan, it was a university, a nonprofit, and even pharmaceutical companies. And I'll tell you about a partnership we have with university and account managers too. But they wanted this to happen. And another thing, too, that I think you should keep in mind, we were talking about this earlier, about the dental community. When we go to talk to people about health literacy, they are still not exactly sure what it is. They know that we need it, and we need it to reduce costs, to improve quality and access, and eliminate barriers to healthcare, and it's value added to everything that we do, and it underpins all services. They don't really know what to do in their organizations. That's okay, because it gives us an opportunity to talk about that. So we did, and we went around and we were thinking, okay, we've got our grant, but we're not really getting a lot of corporate trustees on our board. And so we were actually have worked part-time this year. So we started becoming more known. I would meet with the state of New Jersey, and different states really have sort of a different dedication to healthcare. Our state is dedicated to it, but we'd had the commissioner position had been a little bit of a revolving door, which is problematic to people who want to really have their opinions heard and move forward different initiatives. But I got in with the director of Minority and Multicultural Health because she knew our board chair. So I will tell you that everything that's really been done is really through networking. And something that, you know, happened really the day I left to come down here, I got an email from Carolyn, and she said, can you come to our Healthy People 2020 meeting in the state so we can talk about what we need in the state? But that relationship has been nurtured over the past 9 months. So I guess what I'm saying is it's slow going. So we decided, you know, we're not getting the corporate sponsorship we want. We applied for a couple of grants. We are probably going to get a couple of those, but we don't have the resources and the manpower to spend a lot of time on that. So what we also did was we started meeting with people and serving almost as advisors. And part of this is from my own career as far as a consultant in healthcare with consulting companies. What do you need? They weren't sure. We would advise them. They said, you know what, write up a proposal for us. We will give you a contract to train our... We have 300 new care managers at Horizon New Jersey Health because we had to increase the Medicaid rolls, which was federal law. We have to train these nurses how to deal with people, how to speak to people, whether it's on the phone or in person. So, and I want to be quick. So we started writing some proposals as far as, what can we do for you? We meet with folks, and really, a lot of them needed training internally, and these were private corporations, so they'd be health plans, and one pharmaceutical company wants us to train their medical science liaisons. Medical science liaisons, they actually are out in the field. They're doctors and scientists who work with the clinical community about research, what the company's doing as far as research. They wanted this as value add. You know, we don't want to go out there talking about our drugs. We want something that we can take and then help the community across the country with a presentation. Can you do this for us? Can you train the MSLs and then give us a product of a presentation that we can do too, which is value add to them? So I'm giving you bits and pieces of examples, and we can talk about that a little bit more in questions and answers. So we started really doing proposals and getting some contracts. So we actually have two contracts with the Horizon Blue Cross Blue Shield and Horizon New Jersey Health to help them with training. And we also developed a relationship with the Nicholson Foundation, who work with the Camden Coalition of Healthcare Providers. Has anybody ever heard of that? Because it's actually, at this point, kind of used as a model. Dr. Jeffrey Brenner, he established this. Camden is one of the most underserved and has the lowest literacy levels in health probably of almost any city in the United States. So you've got a lot of super users, and these are people who might present to the emergency room 200 times a year. So to go back to what we're talking about, reduce, eliminate barriers, increase access, and manage chronic diseases, because these are the folks who have chronic disease, what do you do? So Jeffrey Brenner came up with a database of who these people were and established a coalition of nurses, doctors, social workers, violence interventionists, etc. I developed a relationship with the foundation that funds them. I met with her about four times. We'd love to do a training for them, and she finally gave us a mini grant. And I'm using that example because it took me five meetings to get the mini grant to be able to do that. We did it. And it went over really well, and it was, you know, sort of a, oh yeah, we kind of know about health literacy, but we didn't know all of these things. And now we're probably going to do another training for them for some of their provider practices. So again, this is building the capacity, getting known, and having worked with the Camden Coalition, we're now probably going to be working with the FQHCs in the state, the federally qualified health. I'm like, okay, it's the morning, which I know them. So if you're following what I'm saying, if they're all baby steps, and you know, if I were to, I think I probably should be wrapping it up right now. We can talk about this a little bit more. The standalone, that's our dream. We want to keep it as a standalone. We've had some struggles with it, but it took 9 months to really become known in the state and a go-to organization. And we didn't expect that, which you don't. You don't expect those types of challenges. So a couple of lessons learned, I would say develop a business plan based on the needs of your state and based on the needs of what you want your mission to be. Always think about product development. Just like any organization. Is it just trainings or workshops? Is it health literacy assessments? Do you have something that nobody's heard of yet? It's being creative. I read something yesterday about Steve Jobs, which he's in the news all the time now, about intellectualism and genius. And it talked about him as not that intellectual and talking about statistics all the time, but what he did was he was creative, and he built something because he was intuitive. And you have to do that with this too, as far as products are concerned. Collaborate with all stakeholders. That's what we do. We work with doctors, nurses, nonprofits. We're working with the American Heart Association and Heart and Stroke Association to build a health literacy task force for the state. They don't know how to do it. Always think, too, if you're doing health literacy, if you're building health literacy and you're health literacy experts, you may know a lot more than most people. Assess what you do every year. If you do have a nonprofit, think carefully about the board that you invite. Are they committed and can they help you? Share what you do with everyone in the state and beyond. And I talked about that a little with you when I met with the state and Dr. Carolyn Daniels. It's paid off for us because we're going to be at the table for Healthy People 2020. Realize that things move slower than you think. I have give examples here, but I'm going to wait on that when we do our questions. And be flexible. If you have to switch gears, we're still thinking about this. And we have December. In December, we're going to have a board meeting about, okay, what's working? Look how we've had to change over the year. We want to ultimately serve the whole state, but we're just trying to chase money right now. And you have to do that to build the capacity. So that's that's a problem if you decide to build a standalone rather than being connected or have a partnership with somebody else. So that's kind of quick. I think I better wrap that up now so somebody else can go. But I'd love to talk more when you have questions and see what your needs are, too, and maybe I can help. We can all help. So thank you. Okay.